It's ready, ready to go.
Okay.
Listen to the shield.
Let's start. Yes.
Fine.
Start now. You're sure?
Okay.
I'm starting now.
Okay.
Nobody can mute themselves. Okay. If we take a look at Parshas Vayechi, we see that there are three themes in one. Three themes. Each one entails an aspect of a blocker. The first blocker is given by Yaakov Avinu to the sons of Yosef, most beautiful blocker. Hamala ha-goyloisi mikolro, the yidgul oroi bekerb ha-oroi, beautiful expression. And that's why we say, Yisimcha alakim kefayim b'chim nasha, tonight. The blocker which a parent gives to a child, and that's the blocker which Yaakov gives to a child. The second blocker, the theme of the blocker, is Yaakov gave a blocker to each of the children. Each one received an individual blocker, which will come on to a little later. Each one got their own package, their own private package which was made for them. And finally, at the end of the parasha, we also see a blocher, not really a blocher, but it's the shavua which Yosef had given to Klal Yisrael on leaving Mitzrayim, which really was a blocher. In the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come back and visit you, and you'll again, you'll come out of Mitzrayim, and that was the siman which Moshe Rabbeinu brought down to Mitzrayim. We see in this parasha, that, and then we say, chazak, chazak, v'niz chazek. Interesting. At the end of the bracha, we then say that after the life's work of Yaakov and Yosef was completed, they then gave a bracha at the end. It's interesting. If you look at the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, really it's the same theme as well. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu had completed, if we can say, his work in the creation, and then, Vayechulu Hashem Shamayim Hoiz, Vayevorech Elokim Esiyom Hashmi, Vayekadesh Yosef. A bracha was given to the creation. And the end of the creation really ends with the bracha, which the HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given. If we can say the work was completed, and then he gave a bracha. We can ask a question on this. Surely the work of the Borei Olam was perfect. It didn't need any correction. It didn't need any maintenance to it as such. One might say, what's the need of a bracha after the creation? Everything was Yetzir Kapo of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the need that you need to come on to a bracha afterwards? The answer to the Or HaChaim, because in reality, the world would have stopped being after the 6 days. It would have gone back to total bavoidu. The nature of a bracha is to give a kiyum. A kiyum follows something through and pursues it, takes it further. And that's the reason why we have a bracha. A bracha moves it along. That's why we say tonight in the Chodesh, Likra Shabbos l'chuz ha'neircha, ki hi mekor ha-bracha. A bracha on Shabbos is like the reservoir. You fill up again, and all the needs of the creation are refilled and renewed, and then you carry on for the following week. And that's really behind the bracha of the creation, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. It's interesting also, if you go to the end of the Torah HaKadosh, and Moshe Rabbeinu finished his life's work, after his life's work also. After Moshe Rabbeinu's life's work, then also we find, V'zois HaBrocha Sheberach Moshe is the name as well. And then again we say, Chazak, Chazak, V'niz Chazek. Interesting. The idea is when you complete something, in order to follow through and give momentum, the bracha gives that capability. The bracha gives the potential to carry on and fulfill all that was done beforehand. We see it by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'halachta b'brachov, and therefore maybe that's the reason why Yosef and Yaakov and Moshe Rabbeinu gave a bracha. We see also in the Haftorah that at the end of his life, David HaMelech gave a bracha to Shlomo HaMelech. The bracha continues it further. And on the basis of the Or HaChaim, we see without it, it wouldn't continue. There'd be no momentum. Nothing would carry on. The Or HaChaim says we would go back to Tohu Vavoyhu. That's the Koyach of Shabbos. Shabbos is Ki Hi Mekor HaBrocha. That's the nature behind it. If that's the case, we come out with a beautiful analysis. And really, the Torah HaKadosha has book binders. It has a solid binding. It begins with a Brocha, and it ends with a Brocha. Sefer Bereishis ends with a Brocha. The purpose is, everything in the middle is sandwiched between these brachas. And then we say at the end, chazak, chazak, v'niz chazek, carry on, go further, take it further. And that's the ability to carry on. And that's to carry on reading the Torah again. That's the reason for these brachas. The brachas cement and consolidate all that there is, and then you can move on from there. And that's what we learn from the parasha. Why the three brachas at the end of the life of Yosef, of Yaakov, and also by Moshe Rabbeinu, we see by David HaMelech. A bracha carries on what there is. Where do we learn it from? We learn it from Borei Olam. Kodesh Baruch Hu did that. And therefore, that's really the theory which we take out of the parasha. What's the practice? The point is for us to follow in that way. What I'd like to suggest is the Maisa of the Siman Levonim, which comes out of Parshas Bereishis, of the end of the Sefer Bereishis, and we go on to Sefer Shemois, is that the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to give a bracha. He did it after the creation. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. That's what Yaakov did. That's what Yosef did. You carry on. And the koyach of that bracha gives momentum. It pursues it further. A bracha is a very powerful agent. Without it wouldn't carry on. Now, a person might come in and say, Umi ani umoani. Who am I to give a bracha? What power do I have? And they say in Israel, ani yatush natush. I don't have a bracha. You go to a Hasidish Rebbe, you go to a Talmud Chacham, you go to an Adam Gadol, you go to a Tzaddik. But I need to give a bracha. What potential do I have? And it's a tremendous mistake. Tremendous mistake. We learn it from a beautiful Meister. I remember hearing from the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the most beautiful bracha. At the end of his life, he was taken to shul every morning by his grandson in Shai Chesed. And the grandson accompanied him. And one morning, they turned the corner and they saw an old friend of Rav Shlomo Zalman, who he went to cheder with, was the Kamana Rebbe, the Kamana lived there, lived in Shai Chesed, and he saw him, for the first time, he saw him walking with a walking stick. Rav Shlomo Zalman came up to him, approached him, and said, Kamana Rebbe, what happened to you here? How come you have a stick? And he said, Rav Shlomo Zalman, what can I do? The doctor said, from now on, I have to walk with a stick. He said, that's terrible, how come? What happened to you? He said, Shlomo Zalman, give me a brocha. Rav Shlomo Zalman turned and said, me? I'm a Rosh Hashiva. You're the Rebbe. You're the Hasidish Rebbe. I don't give brachas. You give brachas. Said the commander Rebbe, but I'm a Chosid of yours. So the Shlomo Zalman answered him back and said, really? Then pay money. A Chosid pays money. Let me have the money for the Rebbe. Give me, if you're making me to a Rebbe, give me. And they bantered backwards and forwards. A beautiful story again, backwards and forwards. Eventually the Rebbe turned around and said, Shlomo Zalman, give me a bracha. Look him straight in the eye. Shlomo Zalman turned around and said to him, the most perfect bracha. He said as follows. It's a lashon from Hannah. V'raglei chasidov yishmon. The legs of his chasidim should be protected. Beautiful bracha. He was a chasidish rebbe, and that's the bracha he gave. And they went on their way. Several days later, again, the Shlomo Zalman was going to shul with his grandson, and they saw again the Kamala Rebbe without a stick. And they turned over to him, they lifted his hands up in great sinuch and said, see, Shlomo Zalman, you are a rebbe. Your brachas work. I feel much better now. I don't need a stick. I feel much, much better. I don't need a stick. So Shlomo Zalman says, no. You don't understand. And he let out what he was thinking. The most beautiful point. He said, it's nothing to do with me. The Nesiv from the Lozhen, the Nafodis for Yehuda Berlin, said as follows. Our greatest problem is we talk about everything else but giving brachas. We talk about President Trump. We talk about the corona. We talk about Iran. We talk about the elections in Israel. We talk about all sorts of things. If we would only give brachas and say a bracha to somebody, the potential is enormous. We don't realize it. And then the Tzivot says, if we would only give brachas to people, our potential is phenomenal. We will be able to encourage people and give chizuk to people just by a birchas hedyot. You'll say, who am I to give it? No. Whoever it is, if a person will give a bracha, and you'll see in a minute how to give a bracha, that power is enormous. Its potential is phenomenal. I'll be honest with you, I remember after that maizah, a few days later, I went to shul. It's the davening in a kushim shul in Givat Shul with Rav Sukerman. The davening with Rav Sukerman in the shul there. And when I was walking to shul, an avreich who I knew was walking to shul holding onto a baby buggy. A kid's buggy. There was no child inside. He came to shul with a buggy. I said, what happened to you? He said, my legs hurt me. I can't walk so well. So I took the buggy to walk to shul. So I remembered the maestro. And I said, V'raglei chasid of Yishma. I tried it myself. I said those words. And then a few days later, he came back to shul without a buggy. He said, see, your brachas work. Even my brachas work. It works. If you say a bracha to somebody, it has a tremendous effect. The koyach of saying something to somebody. The problem is, what we don't know is how to do it. We're unaware of how to give a successful bracha. We maybe take the Shabbos to somebody, we turn around and say, be happy or something, but we don't really know the details. And that's what I'd like to do in this year. If we're going to take something out of Parshas Vayechi, which is the bookend, the Sefer Bereishis, and it's the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, and it's the whole toichen of this week's parasha is the bracha, we must understand what is the content of it. How do you give a bracha? How do you say something which is meaningful and can give enlightenment and inspiration to somebody else in the chizuk? And also, you must remember, it's also mahu afasa. It's v'halafta b'bracha. You're going in the ways of a Kodesh Baruch. A Kodesh Baruch gave a bracha after the creation. Therefore, he also gave a bracha to Yitzchak when Avraham died. Giving a bracha is a very powerful agent. We learn from the Shlomo Zalman. Anybody can give a bracha, whoever you are. But we don't know how to do it. What I'd like to do is give 4 points, which I hope will help in order to give a successful bracha. The first point is that a bracha should be tailor-made. It should be made for the person who you're saying it to. We see it actually from the parasha. Yaakov Avinu, when he gave the bracha to each of the, he didn't just say to each one, be a tzaddik and a tamid chacham. He labeled each one. He gave kahuna to Shevet Levi. He gave malchus to Yehuda. He gave Torah. If you look in the bracha, the Aruch Chaim mentions it. Isha Asher Kabir Kostai Be'rachoson. Each one received a specific bracha, and they weren't similar. They were quite different. He gave Parnosa to Zvulun, who was a partner in Torah of Yisrael. Each one is tailor-made. And we learn from that, a bracha is not a vague platitude. It's not just something you say out. It must fit. When it fits, then a bracha really has an effect. You have to be specific. You have to be specific about the person and say something about that person which fits. Let me give you a most beautiful example. I can't forget this maestro. I remember after Rav Moshe Shapiro, the bracha was missed. The following maestro came out about Rav Moshe. Just his yahrzeit now on our brother table. Such a beautiful maestro. One Purim, he was sitting with all his Talmidim at the Purim season. And they're all sitting around, Talmidei Chachamim, and Rav Moshe was usually very reticent, but he was very lively, and he was talking a lot. And all the Talmidim were sitting around. And then, in came one of his Talmidim, his name I think was Chaim, they say, he came in, and he came in and sat at the back. Now this Chaim was known in the Chabur to be someone with tremendous yisurim. He'd given up a very successful career to come and sit and learn there as well. He had a lot of problems with finances, a great deal of problems with health, shimos bonim, and many issues. And he was a value story, a tremendous value story. But he persevered and was diligent with his learning, and he was like a dugma of a value story inside the chabur. And as he walked in, the Moshe directed his attention to Chaim, who was sitting at the back, and he said as follows. He said, Chaim, when the Mashiach comes, there's going to be a tremendous Kabbalist tonim. And everybody's going to stand in front of the Mashiach and give Shalom Aleichem to him. And everybody will line up. And the Mashiach will ask, and who are you? And who are you? Eventually, it'll come your turn, Chaim. And the Mashiach will turn around and say, and Chaim, who are you? The Moshe waited a minute until he had everybody's attention. And then he said, when the Mashiach asks you, who are you? Said Mav Moshe, you will tell him, I am the one who brought you here. That is such a target bracha. That man needed to hear that. I'm the one who brought you here. With all this suffering, all the difficulties he had, it was tailor-made to Chaim. Such a beautiful, I'm the one who brought you. That's what you'll tell the Mashiach. Such a beautiful point. In reality, it's in a chazal. The Rashba mentions, the Machlokes Rishonim, what is the meaning of a bracha? Most Rishonim hold that the bracha is an element of Shevach v'Hodoya, a praise and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Most Rishonim hold that. But the Rashba has something else. The Rashba in his tshuva, in Chelek Hei, I think his tshuva mem beis, the Rashba says as follows. It's a riboy, tosefes riboy of what there is already. You're adding on to what there already is. That's the nature of a bracha. Rav Chaim Volozhin mentions this also at the beginning of Shah Beis in Nefesh HaChaim. It's a riboy, what there is already. We learn it actually from a beautiful halacha. I mentioned it maybe previously. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Sivan Kuf Pei Hei. When you bench, you must leave the crumbs on the table at the time. Why? Says the Magen Avraham, Ein ha-bracha chal al ha-reikam. A bracha doesn't fall on nothing. It goes on something. There must be something there for the bracha to fall. And the Magen Avraham says, where do we learn it from? We learn it from the maestro of the wife of Avadia. Remember the wife of Avadia? Avadia had looked after 100 Nevi'im, 50 in one case and 50 in another, and supported them and looked after them in the time of Achav, when there was great difficulties and great persecution. He then died, and she was left with tremendous debt, and the creditors had taken her 2 sons as avodim. She had nothing left. She davened every day at her husband's grave, and the Baskol had come out and said, Elisha, who was a novi at the time, will come and give you a bracha. So Elisha came to her house, and Elisha turned around to the lady and said to her, what do you have in your house? She had nothing, but she had the tiniest measure of oil. Elisha said, well, go and borrow from all your neighbors the barrels, the jugs, the containers. Fill your house up with containers. And when I leave, start pouring. And we know the bracha was a phenomenal bracha. She became from the oil, all the containers got full of oil. And the Chazal even says she became one of the wealthiest families in all of Tal Yisrael, Ad Sof HaDoros, from the bracha of the oil of Elisha. But the Mefarshim asked, the Machzis HaShekel there in the Shulchan Aruch asked the question, if she could borrow the containers, why couldn't she borrow the oil? Because Ein HaBracha Chal Al HaReikon, it doesn't fall on nothing. It goes on something. There must be something there for the bracha to fall on. A bracha is tailor-made. A bracha must fit. It has to belong somewhere. And that's the reason why. There's no such thing. After the 6 days of creation, no more yesh me'ayim. Yesh me'yesh. Something has to be there for the bracha to fall on. And that's the reason why he said to her, what do you have in the house? What do you own? I remember a good friend of mine, he's now a very prominent rav in England. I remember he once told me he was doing shimush by a Talmud Chacham in Tel Aviv, I think on Bnei Brak, I'm not sure where. And a couple came in who had awful problems with Shalom Bayis, terrible problems with Shalom Bayis. He was sitting there doing shimush. And the rav turned around to them and said to them, listen, if you wanted to help me to help you with Shalom Bayis, I have to tell you something. You have to stop shouting at each other. Stop arguing. We can talk. You have to have something to work on. The Shalom Bayis has to work on something. If you don't have something to work on, then there's nothing to talk about. It has to be on something. It's not a yesh me'ayin. It's a yesh me'yesh. That's the first point, which I think in giving a bracha. So alachta b'drocha, it must be like that, and that's the chizuk we should give a first. The second point, which I wanted to bring out as a suggestion, is that a bracha has to be given with great enthusiasm, with great simcha. Rav Desvelmite, in the fourth chelek of Michta Meira, a beautiful point. When you say a compliment or a bracha to somebody, Rav Desta says, you must say his name and put a beaming smile on. When you're saying a compliment, that's the way to do it. You must say the name. I was thinking to myself, really, that's what we do when we make a bracha to our Kodesh Baruch. We say his name, Hashem Melech HaOlam, and then we say, but it should be with Simcha Shal Mitzvah, the Simcha of the bracha. When you give a bracha to somebody, you should say his name. Rav Desta says, say the name. That's what we do with our Kodesh Baruch. Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, and then we say the bracha. And it's specific, that we mentioned beforehand. It's on Shehagoni Yegov, by Imre in the Zonos, as we mentioned before. But let's go a little bit further. When you say good Shabbos to somebody on Shabbos, you should say the name. Say the name and give it with a simcha, with a smile. My father, Oliver Sholem, it always used to say, he could never stand saying good Shabbos to certain people. When we used to, in the olden days, we used to shake hands with people. Now we haven't shaken hands with people for a long, long time. But before the corona, when you used to shake hands, my father always used to say, don't give five flimsy sausages. And you're like, there's no hand in it. He always used to say, you give a hand. You give something. You don't just put out something. You must shake your hand. And then when I was growing up in England, and we had a friend there in Birmingham in England, a very close friend, who was Mr. Stanley Chesler, Oliver Shaw. He was a wonderful, wonderful person. And I know you can never forget his good shadows. He had a beaming smile, and he gave you something with it. It was a beautiful smile which he gave with it. And that's the nature of a bracha. It's interesting that there's a story told of, during the Second World War, that the King of Morocco was very scared that the Vichy government would take over and kill him, the King of Morocco, during the war, because they were connected to the Germans. He was very scared of being killed. And evidently, he called in the Baba Sali, and he asked him to come in to him, have a private audience. The Baba Sali came in, and the King of Morocco turned around and said to the Baba Sali, the Kohen of Bracha, I want you to give a bracha to your son, Meir. I want you to give a bracha. So he said a beautiful bracha to his son, who was the Sali, the Meir. And after he finished the bracha, he then turned around and said, now, please give me a bracha. The King of Morocco asked him. And that was the order. They asked him afterwards, why did you first of all say a bracha to your son? So the King of Morocco said, I knew if he would give a bracha, first of all, to his son Meir, he would be overjoyed and happy. And then I would tally on. I would be behind that. I would have the schus of the bracha of Meir. I'm included in that bracha because he would be in such joy from giving the bracha to his son Meir that I would be a partner in that. Beautiful point. The King of Morocco realized, to give a bracha, you need to have simcha behind you. That's the reason why we give a bracha on Friday night, no? The peak of simcha, you come back from shul, and that's when we bench the children. Just to share with you a maestro that happened to me, when I saw it really in the most beautiful case of this, how a person should give a bracha. There's a rav in Gibat Shul I was very close with, the Mordechai Tzukum, Zecher Tzadik Bracha. The Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, he learned in Kelm. And whenever I used to go on a trip, to Chutzal, it's like the Yeshirim. I used to always go into a rav first, also a bracha. And I went in, and that time I was close with Mordechai, and I went in and told him I was going to Chutzpah Arutz. So he said to me, oh, that Matzliach, and his son-in-law was standing next to him. He was in his later years, he was over 90. He was an old man. And the son-in-law turned around and said, no, he's going to America to give shiurim. And his whole demeanor changed. He jumped up in the air, and he put his hand over his pocket of his hand, and he, like, you know, like this, he was a soccer star. I remember, I couldn't help laughing. He turned and he says, Yonason ben Yechazos, back my sleep! And he jumped up in the air, and beaming. And I remember, that's what he used to do in Birmingham, when he used to call out for the football teams. Aston Villa, Birmingham City, jump up in the air and put your hand up over there. That's what he used to do. Where did he learn how to give a bracha like that? He gave it with such joy and such simple. That's the way to do it. A bracha needs enthusiasm behind it. I was very fortunate, actually, to be a Ben Bias in the house. It was Yortzeit this week, of a Pesach Eliyahu Falk, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, a Gaon, a tremendous tzaddik, that comes from Gadol Me'od in Gateshead. I was in his house, I was a Ben Bias in his house, and I was in Gateshead. And he was a beaming spire. He got it from his father. His father was in the camps, and he was very much Makari of my father. And a beaming smile of this man. That's the way to do it. A bracha must be given with enthusiasm. Number three, the third point, is a bracha has to be specific. The first is a tailor-made, the second is enthusiasm, and number three, you must say a bracha about something. It must be specific. It can't be like a vague comment, like an all-time, all-purpose, like be happy or something like that. It's not enough. A bracha needs to be specific on not just tailor-made, but about a certain point about the person. I can never stand it when, this is a personal quirk I have, I don't like it when people turn around and use the word nice. Like, it's nice weather, it's a nice cake, it's a nice painting, it's a nice building. Nice doesn't mean anything. You're giving a compliment, but if it's a weather, it's cold, or in England you say it's chilly, the cake is tasty, no, or the painting is lifelike, or the dress is fitting. You give specifics. It's not enough to say something like, nice is such an awful word. It's not a compliment, it's not giving a bracha. A bracha must be mafua. You must say it about something specifically. We once watched this in a previous year, about the definition of an oirach toy, a good guest. Remember the Gemara being down, I think it says that nun ches in the Gemara. Have a look at the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says the difference between a good guest and a bad guest. A good guest turns around and says, kama bosa hevi lefanai, how much meat I had. Kama yain hevi lefanai, how much wine. Kama gluskoes, how many delicacies I had. And he says the delicacies. But then the Gemara says, aval oirach ra mahu oimer. What is a bad guest? A bad guest says, koisachas, it was something wet, I don't know, it was something wet. Patachas, a piece of something. Chatichachas, he doesn't say specifically what it is. You have to be specific. That's an erach toy. And the blessing is like this. It must hit the point. Hit the point, not just tailor-made, but at a certain point about somebody. I remember when my daughter, she should be well, became a kala, my first daughter, I'm learning in the beginning of the year, and I went to Rav Nosson Tzvi for a bracha and invited him to come to the chasma. And the Nosson Tzvi, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, gave him this beautiful bracha. He doesn't just say Mazel Tov. He said like this. He said Mazel Tov, and then he said, they shall build a bayis nem on Israel, the Simcha Ubi Kedusha. That's a beautiful bracha. That's exactly what you want for the couple. A bayis nem on the Simcha Ubi Kedusha. That's perfect. That's exactly what you want. I walked away, I think to myself, I couldn't have said anything better. A bayis nem on Israel, the Simcha Ubi Kedusha. That's what it is. It has to be like that. It has to be specific. So the first point is tailor-made. The second one is enthusiasm. The third point is it should be specific. And the fourth point in the bracha, which Lanier cited it has to be very, very truthful. It shouldn't be a fraud. It shouldn't be flattery. It shouldn't be a fake. It should be exactly as it is. A truthful bracha. Why? Because a truthful bracha lasts. A bracha which is sheker, which doesn't, it's just chanipa, it's just hot air and disappears. There's actually a pasuk for it in Mishlei, a beautiful pasuk. The pasuk says as follows. It's in Perek Yud Beis in Mishlei. Listen to this pasuk. And the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon has a beautiful perush on it. Fat emes, tikoin la'ad. Va'ad al-gia, l'shoin shoker. Now, there are two expressions in this sentence of conversation. Fat, which is from the lips, which is a side comment, not a very important comment. A mabakach, something you say incidentally, fast on the lips. But it's emes. If it's emes, tikon la'ad, last forever. Even though it's only a side comment, fast emes, tikon la'ad, last forever. Lashain Shoker. Now, Lashain is a long, passionate speech, a polemic, a long thing, you say, long speeches. But it's Sheker. Lashain Shoker. Lashain comes from the tongue. Tongue is inside, the lips are outside. So, Lashain Shoker. Ad al Gia, Lashain Shoker. It lasts a second. That doesn't last long. Unfortunately, Nebuchadnezzar, friends like Havim, which we hear so much about from the politicians, they're very good at saying long, passionate speeches, and it's as if they respond the Lashon, but it's Sheker, you know, the next minute they'll say something else. It doesn't really mean much. It's not really truthful. And it doesn't last for long, those promises. Even though it's said with great passion, it doesn't really mean anything. The promises which they make. Ad agia l'shoin shoker. And that's the nature of a bracha. If it's truthful, it lasts forever. Think a minute yourself. How many brachas you've ever received from somebody, and you really feel they said it in a truthful way. If it's truthful, it's long-lasting. It lasts, even though it might be on your side from it. I like to bring a raya for that, which I think is a very good raya, which we said last week in the Shir. What's the most beautiful bracha that we ever give to our Kodesh Baruch Hu? When we say, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach Le'olam U'le'omeo Mayo. Now that bracha, according to Rav Chaim Volozhin, brings the Shechina down from the Olam Atzilus, from the Kisei HaKavod, Olam, Olmei is Bria and Yetzira, Yesh Me'ayin, Yesh Me'yesh, and then Atzia, the world which we live in. We bring the Shechina down, in the words of Chaim Volozhin, we mentioned last week, Shechina Batach Toinin. When you say it with all your prayer, says the Gemara, Korin Lo Gzardinoi, Shal Shivim Shana. If a person, maybe Lo Aleinu, was given a lifespan which was short, he's given a much longer lifespan. Why? Because it's long-lasting. The power of a bracha, which we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has a long impact, has an impact on one's life. If you give a bracha, so I would suggest, maybe Bein Adam Lachaveiro as well, if a bracha is truthful, nothing is more truthful than Shechina Batach Toinin, you bring the Shechina down, that's exactly what Hashem wants. It's the most truthful comment, that the Shechina should come down and be amongst us, the presence. He's Magvil Oshebes, HaMashvili Lilois. He's living amongst us in our lives. That's what we want. That's the most truthful bracha we can say. And therefore, it lasts a long time. It has a long effect. If we can do that, being not a matter of daylight, then it has the ability to work. Those are the four points. I once gave these comments. I once mentioned them. There was a Yom Iyun for women about 6 years ago in Yerushalayim. And I once mentioned these points together. And I said that the first point is tailor-made, which is a T. Enthusiasm is an E. Specific is an S. And T is for truthful. And the woman, a woman called, I think her name is Mrs. Fridkiss, I don't know who she is, Mrs. Judy Fridkiss, wrote to me, she said to me, it's a test. Test is tailor-made, enthusiastic, specific, and truthful. Those are the four things of a good bracha. If you can date those four things, then you make the bracha work. But there is a side point which we must mention, which I think is very relevant to this whole shiur, the nature of giving a bracha. Remember, palach the bracha, then you're giving chizik to somebody else. In all the points that we've made, there is a beautiful side effect which comes out of it, and that is from the Pasuk in Mishlei. The Pasuk says, "Kamayim ponim el ponim, kein leiv ha'odon la'odon," meaning, "Kamayim ponim," as you look in the water, you receive a direct image of what your face looks like. You get back exactly what you look at. "Kamayim ponim el ponim," so it is with the leiv. If you give the leiv to somebody else, you get the lathe, kein lathe ha'odam la'odam. If you give your lathe, the lathe comes back. And the Malbim explains what it means. The lathe, the heart, has a certain characteristic of the blood goes back in and then keeps on coming out again. It sends out only what it receives. The lathe continually recharges and refreshes and gives it back again. That's the way the lathe works. So therefore, kamayim ponim el ponim, says the Malbim, if you give out, you'll get back. So it is, if you give a bracha, you get it back. It comes back to you. I was thinking to myself, maybe, I don't know, it's a drush, maybe that's what we say after the end of Bereshis, which we'll say this week after naming, and after we finish the prayer. Chazak, chazak, v'niz chazek. Chazak, chazak is to somebody else. V'niz chazek, and you, it's reflected. And you become strengthened. You receive the bracha. Chazak, chazak, v'niz chazek. You receive the bracha for the bracha that you've given. You'll become stronger because v'nis hazeik, and maybe that's the meaning behind it, behind the bracha. Try it, you'll see all these points, they really work. Try and give a bracha to your husband or to your wife. Give a bracha to your child. Give a bracha to somebody on Shabbos when they say it. Make it with all your heart. Put it with enthusiasm. And Don't be humbled and say, who am I to give a bracha? Try it, it works. I tried it, I remember. And it works. When you say good Shabbat to somebody and mention their name and put your heart into it with enthusiasm, it works. And you become strengthened yourself. You're told by Chazal, that's what happens. That's what the Nesivut mentioned. The Nesivut said, we don't realize the koach of our brachas that we can give to somebody else. And maybe that's why I thought of calling the Shir a blessing on your head and mazel tov, mazel tov. Remember from the musical, I remember growing up. And that was a blessing on your head. Mazel tov is to you, and mazel tov to the person who receives it as well. You receive it. Mazel tov, you give a bracha to somebody else. You receive it back again yourself. These are the points which I wanted to bring out from Pashas Vayechi. They're binding, the book binder, it holds the whole Torah together from the beginning of the Torah to the end of the Torah. These are the points that we can chazak, chazak, and it's chazak. Also the Shabbos, everybody.
Shabbos.
Thank you very much.
Good Shabbos.
Shabbos,
everybody.
Shabbos. Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Rabbi Alper, may you continue to be able to give such beautiful shiur in many years.
Amen. We beat your bench yourself. You should have. You should go together. Speak your bench. Good Shabbos.
In good health.
In good health. Are you as well, my
dear? In good health.
Good Shabbos, everybody. Good Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Where's the top?